Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
A Spotify exec tells the New York Times as of last week, Halloween Party was the second biggest playlist on its streaming service in the U.S. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
And there was even a report that a couple of FM stations in town were switching to an all-Halloween format, a la all Christmas format during the Christmas season.
What is that, an hour-long playlist?
How many songs are there?
What else you got? You got Werewolves in London, I suppose.
Thriller. Right.
Over and over and, then start and over.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
6:12 on a Tuesday morning, Wisconsin's Morning News. 1 week out from Election Day. Where do we stand and what is going on across the country?
Millions and millions of Americans have already voted. But today, this morning, now new concerns, Vince, about election security after ballot boxes out west were lit on fire.
Officers in Vancouver, Washington, pulling out ballots still burning. Officials say hundreds were lost. And in nearby Portland, another fire.
Engine 21 respond to investigate. An unknown flammable object being put inside of a drop box.
Officials credit fire suppressant in that box for saving 409 ballots. Only three were damaged.
Yeah, there's a fire suppressant system, so it just shoots off a chemical and prevents the fire from burning everything, which was helpful in that case. These fires about 20 minutes apart from each other. That was ABC's Lana Moise.
Police and the FBI don't know yet if the two fires inside ballot boxes were politically motivated, but Mike Benner with Portland Police saying,
"We believe the incident here is connected to the two incidents in Vancouver."
And they've now identified a suspect vehicle connected to the fires. A few ballots were damaged in Portland, many more in Vancouver. Alex Stone, ABC News.
So this all comes as Homeland Security officers and officials are issuing a new bulletin now warning that domestic violent extremists are posting online threats of violence toward election officials or infrastructure to prevent perceived fraud or to retaliate against perceived fraud or maybe just to sow chaos. Whatever it may be, there are more and more warnings now that more things like this could potentially occur.
And if you just heard Vancouver and Portland, you're wondering how could these possibly be connected.
Vancouver, Washington,
which is very close to the Oregon border.
Yep.
So they're actually, these are all three close together.
Mm-hmm, very close together. Luckily, only a few, well, I should say probably about 100 or 200 ballots damaged. Now, what can happen is, the good news there is, it is fairly quick and easy to figure out whose ballot was destroyed. Because if your ballot does not arrive, they're reaching out to folks. They're asking anyone who used these ballot boxes in Washington to reach out to the clerk's office. There are ways they can kind of decipher through that. But you got to think that not everything's going to be counted perfectly there, that you're probably going to lose a couple of votes for whomever because of how this all went down.
And if it is politically motivated, it's impossible to know, with both sides now really pushing the early vote, possible to know whose ballots were destroyed.
Right.
Are they Republican votes? Are they Democrat votes? You don't know. So you wonder if it's simply the third idea, that it's just someone attempting to sow chaos
for
whatever reason. 6:14 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Sports up next. We'd love to have you click on the live stream for this. There's a video component, so you can watch us on YouTube. You can do that anytime. Click the Watch Now button on your digital app or at WTMJ.com. It's kind of reminded me of a Disney experience.
Ooh, okay.
Animatronics, video, lights. It's right here in Wisconsin at the Wilderness Resort in the Dells, bringing in friend of the program, Callie Herbst, founder of Milwaukee with Kids, MKEwithKids.com. Callie, what is this thing that you visited?
Well, okay, so it's called Aqua Via Lumina, and it's actually so interesting that you say it looks like Disney, because this studio that brought it to the Dells, you know, in partnership with the Wilderness Resort, they've done work for Universal Studio, for Disney, for Madonna. So, I mean, they do some incredible work. And this experience was, our whole family went this weekend. We were all really impressed. my 8-year-old on the way out said, I believe in magic now.
Fantastic.
She literally said that. But it's basically you're walking through the natural landscape of the Dells. And they use the sandstone cliffs that we all, you know and love about the Dells. But they're bringing these lasers and lights and soundscapes. And you're just walking through an enchanted forest. I mean, you really have to see the video to even get an idea of what I'm talking about.
And again, we've got the video up for you if you're joining us on the live stream. You can also text WATCH to 855-616-1620, and we will send you the link. So how does it work now? Do you have to be staying at the Wilderness, or is this a one-off attraction that you can just pay for?
Yeah, you can. It's near the Wilderness Resort, but you can just park there and, you know, pay for your ticket and go. I would say all ages. It is along paths and stuff. I wouldn't say it's super wheelchair or stroller friendly, but you're walking on a 1-mile path. Kind of a little bit hilly, but really leisurely. You go at your own pace. It's about 45 minutes to 60 minutes, depending on, you know, how long you want to stay and kind of ooh and ah at everything. And then at the end, there's this little campfire area where you can warm up, have a beverage. Really lovely family experience if the next time you're in the Dells.
Is there a line for something like this? For some reason in my head, I'm thinking like when you're at Disney World and you're waiting for like It's a Small World. And you have
but there's no line for A Small World anymore. It's like 3 minutes now.
But not like that?
No, I mean we waited for like a few minutes. It was not anything. I don't know if it's going to really pick up and then it'll become something where, you know, they say on the website advanced reservations, I would definitely buy my tickets before I headed to the Dells if I wanted to do it. But no, it wasn't anything where we were like, oh my God, let's get in already, you know?
Yeah, talking with Callie Herbst, founder of Milwaukee with Kids.
Would you compare it to like the Monet experience that was at like the convention center downtown? Did you ever go through that, Callie?
Yes, that's exactly right. And the Beyond Van Gogh, they have something like that. And they had the immersive Nutcracker. It's like that. But what's cool about this is it's outside. I mean, you're outside. They're using the natural world to enhance the light show. It's incredible, you guys. And the other thing is that it's larger than those displays because this is you're walking for a mile. So it's like if you liked Beyond Van Gogh, if you liked Beyond Monet, it's that kind of a thing, but sort of even more and outside.
So that's called Aqua Via Lumina. It's at the Wilderness Resort in Wisconsin Dells. As long as we got you, Callie. Looking ahead, a lot of folks had trick-or-treat already over the weekend. Some folks will do it on the day. What, Thursday is Halloween?
Yes.
Right. So do you have now buckets of candy in your house? And how do you ration that out and work on that, particularly with the younger kids?
Oh my goodness, so much candy. I'm looking at the giant bags right now. Right now we haven't implemented any. I mean, you know, it's like you can have a couple pieces here and there. Right now they're into the trading. So they lay all the candy out and they're trading and they're categorizing. So right now we're just sort of in that post trick or treat glow, but eventually they kind of, you know, forget about it. It goes in the top of the pantry. They grab one after dinner and hopefully it doesn't turn into too big of a problem.
See, but that's some good parenting there.
Yeah, they won't notice when one is missing then too, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
A couple of pieces.
A little dipping in?
No, it's tax time around here. So, yeah, the tax are flowing.
Time. Absolutely. I've warned the kids about that every year. Hey, I get to take whatever I want whenever I want. You get to deal.
I raised a great deal of controversy because I noticed we had one of those variety packs of whatever. We tell kids, take two or three. I mean, we didn't even finish out all our candy. So, like, I want it out. So, but there were a number of Almond Joys in the pack. And I thought, what kid in the history of kids has ever wanted an Almond Joy? And a number of people responded quite negatively to my suggestion.
It's so funny. No one loves those Almond Joys, but my husband will take them. So send them our way.
Oh, speaking of the tax. All right. Perfect. Callie Herbst, founder of Milwaukee with Kids. You can find all her work at mkewithkids.com. Thanks, Callie.
Thanks, Callie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You had trick-or-treat already, right?
No, you're Thursday. We're always a Halloween day.
I know a lot of traditionalists like that. I think for parents, it can be kind of a tough pull. Like, what are you, 5 o'clock?
Yeah, it's something like that. It's either 5 or 4 until 8, something like that. And it usually ends pretty quickly. Like,
I mean, are enough people even home?
Yeah. I mean, it gets pretty crowded there for a bit, but it ends very quickly. It's not like there's any lingering like you would have probably like on a Saturday maybe.
Yeah.
Once you hit the cutoff time, like it's over. Like no one is out anymore.
I tell you, we were 4 to 7 in Greendale on Sunday, and by 6 o'clock it was like crickets, you know, one or two stragglers.
Really?
I was about to dump the whole bucket in their bags.
Please, just
one
take
kid's
it.
Like, wow, thanks. Go ahead, take the whole thing. Packers backup quarterback Malik Willis. Been pretty good, wouldn't you say? So how come it's working in Green Bay, but it didn't at his previous stop in Tennessee? Head coach Matt LaFleur offers some perspective in sports at 6:45.
So the music industry is hoping Halloween is going to be the new Christmas.
He did the Monster Man.
If Bobby Pickett's 1962 hit can make the Billboard Hot 100 year after year, modern day musicians hope they can too. The Weeknd, who hosted a haunted house at Universal Hollywood 2 years ago, has returned with Nightmare Trilogy. Ashnikko's cashing in on the $11.6 billion industry with a follow-up to her single, Halloweeny. I like to taste of blood in my teeth. A Spotify exec tells the New York Times as of last week, Halloween Party was the second biggest playlist on its streaming service in the U.S. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
And there was even a report that a couple of FM stations in town were switching to an all Halloween format, a la all Christmas format during the Christmas season.
What is that, an hour-long playlist?
How many songs are there?
What else you got? You got Werewolves in London, I suppose.
Thriller. Right.
Over and over and over. Remember when they did True Blue by Madonna for like 24 hours straight on MTV? It was like, why?
That's just mean.
I don't know if there's not enough meat on that bone, is there?
Well, you can be broad with your selection, right? And maybe we do that on Thursday. Greg Pancake Hill had to put together a little Halloween set list for us.
Was that an assignment?
That's what he likes to do, right? It's his favorite thing.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Awesome.
Very well. We'll put it to the test on Thursday, 6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Back to full strength, E.
Yeah, you're feeling good?
95%.
All right, good.
I shared on the program that both my daughter and I had the COVID and flu shot cocktail, one in each arm for me, bing, bing, and it put me down.
Yeah.
And I only shared that yesterday just as a matter of an anecdote. It was more of I'm not encouraging you to get the shots. I'm not discouraging you from getting the shots. Like, you do you. Got zero problem with that, whatever. Just as a message, because I've been hearing this from other people, like, hey, if you're going to do this and you're going to get both, like, plan ahead.
Be prepared.
My daughter missed school yesterday. She was in bad shape, right? And I feel fine about our decision to go ahead and have her vaccinated. But again, that's our family's decision and you do yours. Well, I posted yesterday. And again, this was my mistake because social media is the sewer that it is. But yesterday, like 32 hours out, I was still not right. I was like, oh, I don't know what it was. Like the fog wouldn't clear. So I just posted, to be funny, a sad face picture. Meh. Right. And I got some, you know, funny responses. Oh, yeah, you look rough or whatever.
Look like a truck hit you.
And then, as you can imagine, do you think I got some nasty responses?
Oh, of course. Right, of course.
You want me to read one to you?
Yes, please.
Only a brainwashed dumbass would continue to get these fast-tracked shots. I sleep great knowing I have never injected that poison. Guy also uses the R word to describe that, which I have done.
Wow. Seems a little over the top.
Again, you do you. If you're happy and healthy without the shots, I didn't tell you to go get the shot. I didn't say it's time to get your flu shot. It's time to get you're like, just go ahead. Like, what was the compilation there to need to just be nasty?
There is an interesting behavioral response to everything, right?
Yes.
This feel of like, well, I have to tell them something. And if I don't agree with what they did, I got to make sure they know that too.
Oddly, on the other end too, and I wasn't asking for this. I really wasn't asking for sympathy. It was more just kind of poking fun at myself. But I got a number of folks who said, I'm praying for a quick recovery. Like, dude, like, hang on now.
You don't deserve that.
Right? I don't deserve that. Right? I wasn't asking for it. Please, you know, spend your prayers on a cancer kit or something.
Yeah,
right? I didn't need them. Although those of you who are devoutly religious have often shared prayers aren't a zero sum game. There are plenty to go around. And so I appreciate it. But boy, I wasn't asking for that either. Or the dumbass comment. 6:45 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Is it time to panic? Is it time to raise the red flag? Is there concern in Bucksland?
I'll raise the flag without hitting the button.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Well, sure.
Red flag
is up.
Flag is up.
The Bucks looked good for about three quarters in Boston against the defending champs, but it wasn't to be, falling to the Celtics 119-108.
Giannis working on Holiday went right past his old teammate and stuffs it down with a one-hand dunk.
Yeah, Drew, take that. But yeah, no, couldn't hold on. They ran out of gas in the fourth.
I thought we played
relatively well, but we couldn't sustain it tonight. But I think our guys like where we're going.
Yeah, I liked kind of what they were doing there. That said, Coach.
I don't like moral victories, but I just thought that's what we can be, you know, at least for three quarters. Thought we kind of, you know, ran out of gas a little bit.
It was a much more palatable loss, if you will. The last two losses to the Bulls and Nets were terrible losses. But last night they felt pretty good about how they were handling things, how they were doing things. Of course, it didn't end up that way at the end, but as Doc said, they ran out of gas. Giannis and Dame would combine for 63 points, but just couldn't keep up. Giannis isn't worried.
Even if we sucked, even if we were very, very bad, it's the fourth game of the season.
All right. Fourth day. It's only 1-3 now, four games in. A couple of days before they play again Thursday night, Bucks and Grizzlies right here on WDTMJ.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur says quarterback Jordan Love will play Sunday if he can play. That would be this week against the Lions. No real update on Love's groin injury that forced him from last Sunday's game. If it's not Love, it's Malik Willis, the backup. Three wins for him at the helm.
We see it out in the practice field, quite frankly, going against our defense on a daily basis. So really happy with the progress that he's made, and we've got a lot of confidence in him.
Confidence in the guy left on the trash heap in Tennessee. Packers picked him up for a song just before the season began. So how come it's working here and it didn't work there?
I think there's always a lot of variables that are a reason why somebody goes out there and has success. And I think we have some pretty good people around him. I think that's always important.
Yeah, LaFleur speaking of the targets that he has in receivers, an O-line that protects, and a running game in this balanced offense. Also praising the work, though, that Willis has put in practice, after practice even, with the Packers coaching staff. Might need him again on Sunday. Packers have the Lions at home before the bye week. The Steelers beat the Giants 26-18 on Monday Night Football to close out Week 8 in the NFL. Another win for Pittsburgh with Russell Wilson at quarterback. Steelers are 6-2 on the season.
Battle of the Titans, kind of, but not really. Dodgers win again. Dodgers are one win away from the World Series. They beat the Yankees in the Bronx 4-2 on Monday night.
You can't come back from 3-0, right? I mean, it's been done.
It'd be tough.
In fact, didn't Boston do it on New York?
Yeah, in the ALCS way back when. Yeah, so it's possible, but
6:49 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Keith? At 6:52 on Wisconsin's Morning News, 1 week out from Election Day. Early voting well underway. Have to be approaching 1 million ballots already in the state of Wisconsin. We were well over 500,000 as we started the week. 2024 general election a week out now. Throughout this next week, WTMJ's Adam Roberts is going to be exploring what you will see on your ballot once you head to the polls.
That free voice is the vote.
We're nearly to Election Day 2024, but in reality, the election has already been underway for some time, as early in-person absentee voting kicked off for many Wisconsin communities on October 22nd. Early turnout has been quite robust, with over 412,000 of those in-person absentee votes already cast. For those who still haven't voted, over the next few days, we'll walk you through the ins and outs of what you can expect on your ballot when you head to the polls.
Your vote is one of the most valuable tools.
Let's start, ironically, towards the bottom of the ballot, where you'll notice any referenda up for a vote in your municipality. First off, all ballots across Wisconsin will include a question concerning who can legally vote in state elections.
Shall Section 1 of the Article 3 of the Constitution, which deals with suffrage, be amended to provide that only a United States citizen age 18 or older who resides in an election district may vote in an election for national, state, or local office or at a statewide local referendum?
On the surface, the change is simply rewriting the law to read only instead of every, since no cities, towns, or villages in Wisconsin currently allow non-citizens to vote in local elections. The non-citizen voting referendum is the fifth statewide ballot question in Wisconsin this year alone. Also on the ballot this fall are several high-profile school referenda, continuing a trend of districts going to the voters for approval on spending projects. This November, around 140 school districts in Wisconsin will ask voters to consider ballot items. Data from the February and April referendums show around 60% of those ballot measures passed. In Madison, voters are being asked for more than $600 million to cover operating costs and building replacement and renovations in the district.
They asked for money for the schools. I always gave it to them, but I always
really wondered what the hell they were doing with it.
Madison School Board Treasurer Allie Muldrow tells WISC-TV while she's not surprised to hear those remarks, given voter fatigue over the increasing number of referenda.
As a homeowner in Madison, I don't think anybody wants their life to get more expensive. At the end of the day, we are defined by the way we show up for one another's kids.
Meanwhile, in Wauwatosa, another duo of funding requests asks voters to approve nearly $125 million for the same purpose.
This referenda is a really great thing for our community, and I'm really excited about what it means for the future of our schools.
Our children deserve the best and brightest leaders around. However, irresponsible spending is not a way to get there.
As always, make sure to do your research on any referenda coming up for a vote in your municipality before you head to the polls. Adam Roberts, WTMJ News.
For a complete guide of all your election information, it's all in one spot for you. You can visit the Decision Wisconsin section of WTMJ.com.
You know, it's Thursday, right? On Thursday.
It's Halloween.
It's Halloween. You know what's going to happen on this very program?
Why don't you just tell me what's going to happen?
It's our tradition every Halloween to run a very special Halloween radio show, a scary radio show, just like they did back in the day.
The third annual.
Third annual, yes.
Written and produced by Eric Bilstead, edited and produced by Greg Pancake Hill, producer of the program.
So we haven't heard it yet, but Greg did share a little taste. Oh. You want a little piece of the radio show?
If I say no, can we go to break?
Nope, you have to listen to it.
Did the lights just flicker? Come on, guys.
I didn't do anything.
It wasn't me.
Somebody else decided to tag along with us today? I thought I told you guys. Mercure and Fellow, not invited. Wisconsin's morning news only.
Ooh. What is happening?
I'll change my plans for Thursday.
Why are you so mean?
That's not nice.
Solomon Shovel will debut on this very program on Halloween morning.
I give you a lot of credit. You write the screenplay. Eric takes a lot of pride in it.
He asks
for input. It's just not my favorite thing we do, but it makes you happy.
You're going to love it.
6:57 on Wisconsin's Morning News.